Our first reading this morning is Luke 10, verses 38 to 42, at the home of Martha and Mary. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman called Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Second reading is from John 11, verses 17 to 37. Jesus comforts the sisters of Lazarus. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would have not died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?"
So this is the word of the Lord, and we say, thanks be to God. Well, over the past weeks, we've been looking at how we become individuals in a congregation with a focus on evangelism. We've begun a process of change, which many of you have taken up, because Jesus wants us to talk to people we know and meet about him, so that he might become a part of more people's lives. And so we've spoken about the importance of evangelism, and we've looked at how we can prepare ourselves for evangelism. In my last couple of messages, we have looked at how we can conceptualize evangelism, and we did this to help us form a picture in our minds of what evangelism looks like. We looked at how we are to be fishers of men, and this means that we ought to use techniques and strategies to help increase the effectiveness of our leading people to Jesus. We have to always have an extra motive behind everything we do and say, because we want to lead as many people as we can to Jesus. And a key component of this is to become like those we are sharing with. We take on their interests and we respect their beliefs. However, we always maintain a firm understanding of who we are in Christ, and we never break the commands of Christ. And there are two main ways that we do evangelism. There are things we can do which can help us to cast a wide net over as many people as we can throughout the daily living of our lives. And there are ways to help us reach specific people who are important to us and who God has placed on our hearts. Last week, we looked at how evangelism is the discipleship of people who have not yet decided to follow Jesus. And what we do is that we involve these non-Christians into our spiritual lives. For instance, we pray with them. And by doing this, we invite them to draw near to God. We share with them the good news about Jesus and introduce them to Jesus, who is both real and who invites them to come to him, to meet him, so that he can help them in their lives and meet their needs. In today's message, we're looking at how evangelism is often really about learning the art of deepening conversations and relationships. It will both be a way to help us again to conceptualize what evangelism is and how we can do evangelism, but as well as form the beginning of what we say to help us get to the point of doing evangelism. So we're getting really close to getting to the part where to help us to know what we say when we do the evangelism. A key component of evangelism is the establishing of relationships with people. Without relationships, there is no evangelism. In our message on being fishers of men or fishers of people, I explained how we fish by both casting that wide net or by fishing for specific individuals. In both situations, relationships are important. In the first instance, it's about establishing a good rapport where people are naturally encouraged to share openly, and for us to then use this opportunity to maybe ask questions or to share something which would eventually lead to us talking about Jesus. And in the second instance, it's about using established good relationships to create opportunities for them people to hear the gospel or to deepen these relationships to make it easier for us to have a conversation which incorporates talking about Jesus. So are we willing and able to create spaces to allow for meaningful, deep conversations to occur? Over the past week, I've been on a Links camp, which is a Christian camp, as I said, from 6 to 14-year-olds. And I'm going to share a little bit more about this camp later on in my message. But part of the camp is that four teams of leaders, each team put together one teaching session of one of the key themes for the week. And my team of leaders were doing the importance of slowing down to notice the needs of people around us. And this is a key ingredient in having good conversations. We are often busy with life. But are we too busy to have conversations? Or are we willing to put our busyness down to have important conversations? You see, we have to be willing to be prepared to make time to have good conversations which deepen our relationships with people. And if you don't have any time to talk to people, then this is something you're going to have to fix if you're going to take engaging in evangelism seriously. Or you need to be able to work out a way how you can put things down so that you can have good conversations when they come up. Jesus' ministry often included detours to meet needs and to establish relationships. In our first Bible reading this morning, we saw Jesus making time to have dinner with Mary and Martha at their place. In sharing this meal with Martha and Mary, Jesus invested his time into getting to know them, in sharing with them and teaching them. And we know that from this, Martha and Mary develop a strong faith in Jesus. So how can we talk to people so that we're able to deepen the conversations we have with them, shifting our conversations from the more superficial things to more personal sharing? Well, first of all, the way we speak to people has got to be warm and inviting. That first Bible reading, Martha is rushing around, making sure that she's doing everything a good host should do. But when she speaks to Jesus about Mary's decision to not help out, but just to sit and talk with Jesus and listen to him, Jesus' answer is a soft rebuke of Martha. But it's also one which invites Martha to join Mary, to put down her busyness, and just to enjoy this time with Jesus, instead of trying to please him or to impress him with her hospitality. So the rebuke shows Martha that Jesus would rather just spend time with her and Mary than to be served by them. It shows the importance Jesus places on them as people and as friends. And we must do the same. People should feel that they are important to us because we show them that through our words and actions. And so that's the first step. In our conversations with people, do we show them warmth and an invitation to speak with us? So that's the first thing. But how do you start deepening a conversation so that our conversations aren't just about the weather, what COVID's up to, and about being busy? You know, the usual things we talk about these days. Well, when we're casting a wide net over people that we just happen to be encountering in our daily lives, so these are the people that we either haven't met before or people we don't know well, the following questions are a good way to start a good conversation. Now, I learned these back when I was a teenager from a youth talk, and I guess I remember these because they were presented to us as what to say when you're on a date and you can't think of anything to say. But it translates into any conversation you're going to have with people that you don't know well. All right? So, remember Ford. F-O-R-D. Remember Ford. F is for family. Talk about the person's family. You can get pretty deep with talking about family. O is for occupation. What does the person do for work? And if they don't work, then what are they doing in their day-to-day lives? Find out about it and how it's going for them, all those sorts of things. R is for recreation. What hobbies does the person have? And what do they like to do when they get some time, if they get some time? And D is for dreams. What hopes and dreams does this person have for their lives? What is important to this person? What do they want to do? What do they want to see happen in the time that they have left on this earth? So Ford is a great way to go deeper with people you don't know all that well or know kind of semi-well. Don't forget it, and you will never be stuck for how to deepen a conversation so that it's more personal and meaningful. But what about conversations with people we do already know well? John 11:17-37 is this time when Jesus takes that already good relationship that he's got with Martha and Mary, and he's now going to actually take it deeper. And so this is where we see Jesus deepening his relationship with both Martha and Mary. He's already got this great established relationship with them. But in this story, we know that Lazarus has died, who is of course the brother of Martha and Mary. But Jesus, however, is not just going to grieve. He actually wants to use this time to reveal himself and to go deep in a relationship with him and with others and also with us. He wants them, he wants others, he wants us to get to know him better. And we can do that through looking at these conversations Jesus has with them. So these three people were very special to Jesus. And so he speaks with Martha, and as he does so, he shows how special they are to him in the way he acts and speaks to them. So Jesus begins by comforting and reassuring Martha. But then what he does is that he shares something deep about himself that he wants Martha to know, that she does not yet understand. And that is that I am the resurrection and the life. He's not afraid to reveal this or to remind Martha of this, to show him who he is. And Martha responds to this, but she thinks that Jesus is just continuing to comfort her. But Jesus wants her to know that he's not only going to be the resurrection and the life, but that he is already the resurrection and the life. And again, as Jesus speaks with Mary, he responds in empathy, sharing in the sadness of the moment with her before heading to the tomb, where, of course, Jesus will raise Lazarus from the dead. And so in this encounter with Martha and Mary, Jesus is deepening his relationships with them. He's sharing in their sadness. He speaks graciously and lovingly to them, comforting them. But he also wants them to know him on a much more personal and deeper level. And he's going to do this through raising Lazarus. Jesus is also speaking truth into their lives, truth about who he is, and a truth about himself which is important for them to know and understand in the midst of what they're facing. So it relates with what they're struggling with and what is causing them the grief in their life. Right, so he's being open, he's responding to their situation compassionately, and he's sharing important truth for them to know, and he's sharing something deeper about himself. Now, when I was around 18, I started to share with people for the first time about the real stuff that I struggled with. The scars I carried, my personal insecurities, my hopes, my fears, my weaknesses, those things, those vulnerable things. And I started to have D&Ms with my friends, and for those who don't know what that stands for, it means deep and meaningful. And as I would have these talks with my friends, I found that a common phrase would be said by the person I was speaking with, or with one of the people I was speaking with, and that was a phrase: I've never shared this with anyone before, but when people who I wasn't particularly close to said this, I began to wonder, why are you sharing this with me when you have closer friends? So I studied my conversations and I discovered what was happening. And this is one of the secrets to getting your conversations to go really deep. What I would naturally do is that as we were talking, something kind of personal would be shared. But then what I would do is I would share something which related to what they had shared, but on a slightly more personal level. And then they would reciprocate. And then I would share something on a slightly more personal level, and they would reciprocate. And then I'd share something on a slightly more personal level, and they would reciprocate. And soon enough, we're sharing at a level that they've never shared with anyone else. And they would say those words, I've never shared this with anyone before, but... Now, of course, this wouldn't be possible unless I had just a general reputation of being a nice guy who was good to talk to and wouldn't share those personal things that other people shared with me. So that's important. But if you want to go deep with people, you've got to go vulnerable. You've got to go vulnerable. You've got to open yourself up. So this is a process which you do with someone in the context of a very personal conversation and a relationship that you're taking deeper. You don't do this with just anyone. This is what this is for. So how might you use this technique? Let's say someone shares with you about a family issue. Right? We all have some family issues at some point. You listen to them. And then you share about a family issue which you've had, which in some way connects with the family issue that they're having. But what you share is a little bit more personal than what they share. And then see how they respond. Do they match you? If they do, that's great. Then you can go on to something a bit more personal. But if they don't, then stop there, because they're not going to be comfortable to go deeper. Right? That's for a later time if it happens. So you've got to be willing to be vulnerable and open and honest and willing to reveal the negative and the weak things about yourself. That's how you go deep. On Links Camp, one of the roles that I take on is to mentor the young leaders, to help them develop and grow in their faith and leadership abilities. And on Friday, which was of course the last day, I just had so many meaningful conversations, like properly deep conversations about faith and about struggles. And so whenever I wasn't sort of helping with entertaining them or controlling them, I basically went from one deep conversation to another, as the children, the teenagers and the young leaders would either just come up to me, or as I was just walking or wandering around, I'd just start to have another conversation which went deep. Now for the most of the 4 days, I did have some deeper conversations earlier on, because you tend to do that. But for the most part, those first 4 days, it was more about hanging out, doing the forward questions to get to know them. I mean, there's 100 people, right? I didn't know the majority of them. It's about doing those forward questions. But then through that spending time, being open, being available, starting to be a little bit vulnerable with them, showing something about, you know, my walk. On the last day, it really opened up. And in particular with those young leaders, it was just fantastic. I got to have some really good conversations. Now, as you're having deep conversations, there are just some things just to be aware of and keep in mind when you're doing this personal sharing. So, you just have to always be attentive to the person you're talking to. That's one of the most important things. For a number of reasons. A, because you're listening to them and you're going to respond to them. But secondly, because you can't go too deep too quickly. That will just turn, usually that just turns people off. And the same is true if you try to have deep conversations all the time with someone. Often you just need to have just regular old conversations with people about enjoyable things or about just more general things. I saw Lizzie just say fluffy things. Most evangelism is done face to face in the conversations we have. This means that deepening our conversations and relationships so that people are more willing to talk to us about matters of faith and belief are key parts of evangelism. To do this, we must build good rapport and have the respect of the person we're talking to. To be a good person so that we are a good person to talk to. We need to be open and warm. And when getting to know someone, we ask those forward questions. But when it comes to deepening friendships, vulnerability and a willingness to share out of our personal struggles and weaknesses come to the fore. And through these, we connect with the person that we're talking with. Because what happens is that as you open up a space for vulnerable sharing, which creates that opportunity for the other person to open up. The deeper and more open a conversational relationship is, the easier it is to talk about those things which are of meaning and purpose in people's lives, those more important things in people's lives, which we can then use to lead to conversations about Jesus. If evangelism is something you want to do more of and be more effective at, make sure you get better at deepening your conversations and your relationships. Amen.